Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
If I could change two details from a morning headline, it will give a much clearer picture on the future of college football rosters. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. Appreciate everybody getting in today. And I saw a headline. Here it is. American Athletic Conference to allow players to transfer within league without losing year of eligibility. That was the second part of the sticking point that never really got a lot of play, is when you would have a kid transfer from Alabama to Florida. And I don't know if that ever happened. Maybe it did. If you transferred within the SEC, at one point, didn't you have to sit out 2 years? But it was a year not just of you couldn't play, but it wasn't a red shirt. It counted. So if you went to Alabama and you were in the program for 2 years, and then you transferred to Florida, whether you taken a red shirt or not, that counted as eligibility. And so being able to just play was an advancement, but what about that eligibility? Where the AAC has said, now again, it's one conference, and they're in the group of five, but it's one conference, and they're announcing something that applies just within the walls of the AAC. Again, the headline, American Athletic Conference to allow players to transfer within league without losing year of eligibility. Now, if you're watching on the Zoom feed, go to LandryFootball.com, click Twitch. Did I say Zoom? No, if you're watching on Twitch on LandryFootball.com, then you saw I extended my arms when I said American Athletic Conference over to the left to allow players to, and then transfer within the league without losing year eligibility. Those are the two details I'm going to change for you. And I promise it will serve to open the curtains for you and let you see the future of college football rosters. Instead of American Athletic Conference, say all programs, all conferences, and the NCAA, instead of transfer within the league, say whatever mobility the player wants. That's where it's headed. So instead of it being AAC allows players to transfer from one program to the next, I can go from UCF to Memphis and I don't have to sit out. Instead of talking about the AAC and interconference transfers, talk about every program that plays college football and the kid playing wherever he wants. At least once, he can do that. That's what's coming. And even if it's tabled, even if it's put aside, even if it's not picked up until 2022, going to get to that in a second. It is part of the future. And if you don't think, like it's right now, it's Tuesday in April of 2021. I will ask you, if you could DeLorean ahead 10 years, and it's April 2031, do you believe that players will still have the limited mobility when it comes to transfers that they have now? No. It's absurd to think that 10 years down the road, you're going to have anything that looks like this. With Now, again, we've talked about this principle. Any sort of crisis, like big-time crisis, not I'm late for lunch, like a pandemic, historically all that does is accelerate what was already happening. And that has certainly been the case when it comes to players and their voice, their stage, their rights, their whatever. And I put all in the bucket, and it's all true. It has never been more of an emphasis. Gus Malzahn putting Twitter handles on the back of jerseys. He's allowing players to say, not like, you know, Stevens or whatever, but at King CFB on the back of the jersey. Gus is saying, yeah, we're going to build their brand. Because that's what it is in 2021. What it also is in 2021 and will be sometimes before 2031, and you just even said it yourself. The one-time transfer? Wouldn't surprise you by then that if it's even a lot more mobile than that. But that is where it's headed. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's something to shift. And this is the part about, you know, trying to swim upstream here. I said we'll get back to that. This is something to shift from working against to making it work for you or making it workable the best you can. Now, again, the bad part, a guy who's making between $1.7 million a year and has support staff and whatever else, they can figure out a way to do this. However, it is a very real factor. I have to re-recruit my roster all the time. If the one-time transfer is approved, and that's, I mean, there's a lot of kids making the assumption. Like I said, it got tabled when they were talking about it. But if it does get approved, I've already said, I'm going to emphasize the transfer portal even more because at least I know that kid's not going to transfer. He's already used his one free. And so I have a better chance. I'm going to recruit freshman, redshirt, sophomore, whomever. The younger, the better. I'm going to the transfer portal to someone who has already left Arizona State, to someone who's already been at Middle Tennessee. It ain't going to be easy. It's going to be roster juggling constantly. We had a guest on, and I'm not going to call him out, but he said, I wish we could go back the way it was before where you had to sit out 2 years. It's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, I wish I had lottery numbers early. And what he espoused on this very show, I wish we could go back to the system where you had to sit out 2 years if you transferred within a conference. He was talking specifically in the SEC. There's a lot of things that you wish. Bill Clinton actually giving a commencement speech. And this was, it might, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. And he had said something pretty poignant. He said, if you spend 1 minute of your life pining away to be something or for something that you can never be or have, he's like, it's the worst. You're wasting your time. You literally are getting nothing for your time. And he was talking about, you know, I want to be president again. He was like, if I sat around all day thinking about being president again, he said, that would be wasting my time. He's like, when you're thinking about something that you never, ever will do again or, you know, whatever, That's the same thing here. You can talk about it all you want. And you know what? It would be easier for the coaches and the programs. Easier versus what it is now and what it is going to be even more of. But easy is not part of the variable here or the equation. It's not one of those, you know, X or Y or Z or anything in that equation at all. So you can debate, and I know what happens. We're on 51 different places. And I know every single day before me and every day after me, there is some portion of debate about whether this is right or wrong. I ain't talking that. I'm telling you what is. And that's player mobility far beyond the AAC saying, yeah, you can transfer from one school to another within the conference.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Bo's picked it up. Bo is always at that position. To me, the quarterback position is about decision making. It is about decision making. I think the best players that you see play that position at the next level in college and high school, the reason why they're good players, they make great decisions.
It's a familiar story. Don't need to restate it. We know what Bo Nix is and what it's been for 2 years. Brian Harsin, former college quarterback. Mike Bobo, former college quarterback. They're charged with it. There is some strip it down and rebuild it, but it's not like a complete teardown. It's, you know, just a kind of a renovation, let's say. The skills there, the talents there, when you've got to be consistent. And when he talks about decision-making, et cetera, quick with it as well. And able to process when there is still a second left, where maybe a count or two left, where you can sort of audible and go another way. That's just been the biggest issue for Bo, is that the things I know about him, I could have watched on a practice field and found out about. I could have watched him throw the ball. I could have watched him, you know, call plays, leadership, all that. I could have found out. I haven't seen enough of Bo's best traits on game day. I mean, he's functioned, but like that Oregon game, go back and watch. I mean, it's the first start of his career. He throws a game-winning touchdown pass in the final, whatever it was, minute or so. Justin Herbert had another shot at the end zone. Herbert, he was really, really good in stages of that game. It was a really good team. And maybe his worst pass of the game. Worst pass the entire night, probably. He overshot the entire end zone. Sailed it out of the back of the thing. And on the final play, I think it was the fourth down pass, and just airmailed it right out of the back of the end zone. But game-winning touchdown pass with about a minute left or less, it was a microcosm of what the first two seasons have been for Bo. The amazing talent and some big plays and, hey, look, a game winner. It was on the road in a neutral site at least, so I guess that can, you know, still be circled in versus playing on another team's campus. But with Bo making that throw, you thought, well, this is the jumping on point. And then at the end of the next season, the coach is fired, and you look at a guy who, again, as a true freshman, starts neutral site, game-winning touchdown against a top-10 opponent. And this was not necessarily the quack attack from, like, 2010, where they had good players scattered throughout their defense. Don't mistake that. But the Ducks' success a decade ago wasn't built around defense. What Cristobal has, it's built around tough guys. It really is. And so that's who Auburn was playing at. So it was just the best of all possible worlds. But you also realize in that very same night, and didn't pay you a lot of attention to it, because, oh my gosh, the kid throws a touchdown pass with 30 or 40 seconds left or a minute. What are you going to concentrate on? Hey, look, the true freshman. What a great moment for him. There were moments in that very game that you saw later that year in Gainesville, later that year in Baton Rouge, later against Georgia, later in 2020. And it never wound up looking different from the very first game. And when you have true freshman quarterbacks who got to kind of learn on the run, sketchy offensive line or play calling or system or what he's being asked to do, I've said it. It's like you pour everything about a kid out on the field as a true freshman, and you see the absolute best he can be, and the worst he can be. See, the biggest plays and the biggest mistakes. And all of that happened in the Oregon game. But we didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it because of the Seth Williams thing at the end. But a whole lot of that, I mean, all of it, from 1 to 99, it all happened that night. You know what the take-home was? My gosh, what a great pass at the end. And then Bo, essentially, watch the Oregon game, watch a game from 2020, not going to be a whole lot different. It just wasn't going to be different. Well, it's going to be different now. Different leadership, again, different play call and different scheme, different asks of the quarterback, et cetera. So, again, Brian Harsin, ahead of Saturday's A-Day game. There's not really another choice at quarterback, so it's not anything where, you know, like at LSU, hey, who's going to start? That's not an issue. It's how productive and consistent can Bo Nix be. Dan, how are you today?
Oh, I'm very well. And, you've got a program like Auburn who's trying to at least get to the point that Auburn fans hope they can be at in terms of not only winning the West, but also, if not every year, every other year or every year after that, beating Alabama, which for the most part they kind of have done. And we'll see what Brian Harsin can do to kind of cut into that, because it kind of leads into where I feel like Dan Mullen and Florida could be with their fan base. I'm not saying that the honeymoon period is over, but I think that Dan Mullen realizes that soon enough, I've got to be able to at least up the level of expectation and up the production of what's expected of us here at Florida. And I think a huge part of that is in recruiting, because, Chuck, I don't know if you've noticed that Dan Mullen this offseason, a little bit more active on social media. You go on Instagram, for example. I follow him on Instagram. There is not a single day that I don't know where Dan Mullen is on campus, or where he is walking to lunch at, or where he's grabbing lunch at, or any of those things. Yep. And I don't think there is just one day where he woke up and said, huh, you know what? I mean, I ran a marathon once, and I didn't necessarily do that spontaneously. I'm just going to start being more active on social media today. He'd always been on Twitter, but not Instagram. I think somewhere either through his realization or through somebody else, they said, Dan, you got to recruit better, and you've got to get more of the guys that you're getting at the top of your recruiting classes if you're going to beat the guy in Athens, and especially if you're going to beat the guy in Tuscaloosa, because soon enough, that's what we're going to ask for. I think they're going to have a good enough team this year to be able to win 8 games. But it's also, too, like I said, it wasn't necessarily his fault, but seeing that on the chyron for the NFL Network's coverage of their pro days, saying, have won 8 games in every one of their seasons. There's Florida fans looking around saying, the hell is this? We don't want 8 games a season. So, yeah, they've done a good job of getting to New Year's Six Bowl games and at least having respectable seasons. But soon enough, Chuck, I think we all know how that goes in this part of the country, is that you're going to get the one guy that comes up to you and says, all right, where's that 9th win? Where's that 10th win? Where's that SEC championship game? Where is our chance to be in the Final Four, and where is our chance to be those guys?
Can I transport my brain and my heart to a Florida fan's body?
Please do.
It would be season one. If you finished with 8 wins season one, now again, I don't know if this is fair or not. In fact, it probably isn't, but I don't care who the coach. Dan Mullen comes in as probably Mississippi State, the best coach in the history of that program. I don't care if it was him or Boom or McElwain in his first year. I don't care. I'm a Florida fan. 8 wins? I don't care about that. Don't brag about that. That's a measuring stick for some other program, like a lot of other programs, and we ain't a lot of other programs. And I'm not just going chest out like Urban Meyer. What was his? The 1% of the 1%? No. I know what I've seen from the outside. So if I was a Florida fan and I saw that, I mean, I react to it as someone, because I saw the same thing. I was like, yeah, that's not what they're about. Like a Tennessee fan, if they win 8 games 3 years in a row, that's something for them to talk about. That's not UF.
They better be doing backflips at least right now, especially since they haven't had a competitive team since 2004. But you're right. For Florida, that shouldn't be what the goal is. The goal should be we're getting to Atlanta every year. And yes, guess what? If we're not doing it every year, we're at least competitive and beating Alabama or whoever comes out of the SEC West, because that's what this conference is and that's what we're about.
Yeah, that's going to be their regular season this year too with Bama and LSU.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's a Tuesday and it's hour one, so you know that we're going to have our good friend Dave Bartu on, and he's just dropping the facts, folks, exactly what happens behind the scenes, how rosters are created, coaching staffs are cobbled together. It's what happens year round. Even when you don't have an opening at a particular college, you may get a call. Dave Bartu may get a call from someone saying, yeah, if I do have an opening this fall, and I anticipate it. So it's going on 12 months a year, and we get him every single Tuesday. Want to welcome him on now. He is College Football Matrix. Dave Bartu, how are you today?
Dude, I am struggling with trying to remember a password. It's not like Bitcoin bad, but I got this old College Football Twitter account that has like 11,000 followers, and I want to convert it over into our new partnership with the NFL Retired Players Association with our hemp products. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been locked out a dozen times in the last 2 days trying to figure out the password to get back into that.
Mother's maiden name, first pet. Favorite car? What? None of it.
I wish it was something like that. It's me, man. So not only is it probably goofy, it's I can't remember it. It's horrible.
What you need to do is find the old laptop that you may have logged into at some point, and maybe the password saved on an actual different laptop. All right, so you're trying to figure out a password. Kansas is now trying to – they got an AD. They're just trying to figure out a permanent football head coach. Is there any latest?
No latest and greatest on that. I got nothing there, not worked on it. Obviously tried to get my foot in the door, but mm-hmm. – nothing going on with that. Just be curious to see what comes out of it. Now, I've heard a lot of names kicked around out there that I'm actually connected to, that I do work for. So I think there's a lot of what people have been hearing about it, if you're actually interested in the Kansas job, mm-hmm. I think what they've been saying about it, I think a lot of it is really a lot of guessing right now. It's been very tight-lipped to date.
All right, here's what I can tell you. You are a head coach in Power 5, and I didn't say Group of 5 would be fine, but you're a head coach in Power 5, and you can make some money, and you probably will get whatever your buyout is, because you're not going to win. And I'm not trying to be funny here, but you can take the job, you can make some money, you can get fired, get a buyout, go back and be a coordinator or position coach somewhere. Now, that does not compute to most guys that I know who are college coaches, because they think, well, no, this keeps going up. But beyond that, I don't have a whole lot to say right now about the Kansas job and how I would be pitching it if I were the new Goff, the new AD there.
Yeah, I mean, how do you pitch it from a basketball school in a program that's largely not won a bloody thing since they fired Mangino? I mean, nothing. The whole thing just cratered. So I think what it comes down to is what you just said, dude, and it's what makes business turn. It's money. What, who's going to take the check? I think they got to figure out what they can afford, and that's what they go with. Look, I can pay you X for 4 years, and whether you're successful or not, you're going to get this. Now, I think most guys would go into it saying, I'm going to be the one who turns it around. I'm going to get this paycheck, and I'm going to be the one who turns it around.
Every guy thinks he can do it.
Right, and then I'm going to parlay this into a bigger job, and I'm going to make more money. Now, if they can't find a guy that has that mentality, then maybe you go to somebody that that is along for the ride. You know, a veteran coach that just knows, hey, I'm just going to get a paycheck for 4 years.
Wasn't that supposed to be less?
Les was supposed to fill out the roster and fill the seats. He actually did a decent job in 2019 getting fans in the stadium. But in terms of building the roster, didn't do a damn thing. So as far as I'm concerned, the goal of hiring Les was a failure before they fired him. So he didn't do his job there. And so I agree with you. They can't hire that same kind of profile again. It has to be a completely different direction. So I think you're going to find a G5 guy that's going to come up and take the money.
I know that we've talked about this exam. I actually talked about it when it first happened, but I also thought it was the same thing with Mack Brown at North Carolina. Can you remember that he was not going to be the real coach? He was supposed to be the sort of the stopgap, get us through some notoriety, restock the roster with some talented kids, but you're not the real coach. We'll hire the real coach after you have improved the overall talent level. Yeah, that's not what's going on in Chapel Hill. Can you remember your opinion of Mack when he was coming out of the TV booth? Because he'd been gone for, like, what, 4 or 5 years?
He'd been gone for a little while, and the recency bias was certainly there because you look at it and you go, look, he was a national champion head coach, and then the whole thing fell apart. And so my opinion was very clear, and it was very divided. Are you going to get pre-national champion Mack Brown, or are you going to get post-national championship Mack Brown? And because a lot of people don't remember pre-national championship Mack Brown, even before Texas. I think you and I both know he won double digits every year at Texas, and everybody dogged him for taking him so long to get to win a national title. But they don't remember what he did at North Carolina before he got to Texas. They don't remember what he did at, was it?
Tulane.
Was it Plain? Tulane before he got to Texas. This guy was a winner big time long before he got to Texas. He had a great upward curve in terms of his coaching efficiency and his coach effect. Texas made a good hire, very good hire. I mean, this was a guy on paper that was extremely solid before he got there. He won a ton of games at Texas, and then the wheels fell off. Now, the question is, was it Mack Brown or was it a bunch of boosters that got their fingers in the mud and screwed everything up because they won that national title, that entitlement? Based on what's happening in North Carolina, I would say it's probably less Mack Brown's fault and more everybody else's program since then.
Now, and this is, I mean, because Mack is somebody that I am personally fond of, so I'm not, you know, trying to speak any ill on the man, but he's not going to be coaching there in 10 years. I don't know if he'll be there in 5 years. So a timeline of a plan may still be in place there. Where does a program like North Carolina, where do they rank? Because, and I mean, I'm talking about when their job is open, because Mack has been, and I've also heard from the Carolina side behind the scenes, but Mack has been pretty public about it. It's like they came to me because they wanted somebody who was familiar. I would phrase it another way. Again, that's a great job to have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They wanted to overplay their hand at North Carolina, and Mack was about the top rung they could get to because they had history with him. Just talk about that job when it comes open again.
When it comes open again, well, I think with any job, you and I both believe, I know I certainly do, and I know that you understand, recruiting's pretty much the top dog in college football, okay? So with any program, and let's just look at North Carolina, where do they recruit within their division and within the country? Within their division, perennially, they're about number three, okay, behind Virginia Tech and Miami. Right? Miami is not the recruiting juggernaut it used to be, and Virginia Tech, you know, is happy to be recruiting in the low 20s, which is kind of where North Carolina has been. So when I look at North Carolina, I see a program that is in that division. So you're looking at top three recruiter in the division, top five recruiter in the conference. So these are all good things, solid things. Nationally, top 25 recruiter. So they're not going to ever be any sort of national championship contender or anything like that. But it is a very, very good program with a lot of opportunity. So to me, it's a top 25 gig, top 25 potential year in and year out. But if they like familiarity, I mean, look, they just lost Roy Williams, and they went with an alumni that was right there on the bench.
Yeah, Hubert.
So if you said, Dave, bet $20 today on Mac's replacement if he leaves at the end of the year, I'll just go in-house and go with Phil Longo because I think that dude's awesome.
Last thing I want to ask you, we'll stay in the ACC before we break, and I'll use Brent Venables as an example, but it just because, you know, I want to put some details in there. It's not specifically him. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to talk somebody into being a head coach, and I think it, with some assistance, and Venables is kind of the latest, you better really wow him, or he's not even taking the call, much less taking the job if you offer it. So that's just Venables, because he's kind of pass, not interested, no thank you, no I'm happy. I don't want that guy, I don't think. And I know he's an outstanding coach, but I want a guy who is, like, bleeding to get my job.
Yeah, well, I think, like, a guy like Venables – and this may be anybody. You and I have seen it over the years. At some point, the phone just stops ringing because everybody's tired of you saying no.
Yeah.
You know, you and I both know his agent's phone's rung off the hook for years now, trying to get him. And at some point, you just become plain old crackers, and the phone stops ringing. So I would agree with you. From an attitude perspective, maybe you don't want that guy that is waiting specifically for your job, unless he's called it. Maybe he knows the three places he wants to mm-hmm. go, and his agent has already contacted Chuck and Dave and Ray, and boom, if those come open, bang, I want that job if it's there. So maybe that's out there, and that has happened with some guys. You have to be really good to be able to do something like that. But no, I agree for the most part is you want a guy that I don't care where it is in the country. You know, he's like, I'm just going to come in, and my system works. It works in Maine. It works in California, Washington, Florida. I don't care where it is. I will go, and I will win football games.
That is Dave Bartu, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Come back on a Tuesday with more next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Ones and zeros. That's what the man does. There's a scene in that movie Heat, I think. If y'all remember, wasn't it John Voight's character? Says, the information's out there, man. You just got to reach out and grab it. It's all out there. Well, Dave Bartu grabs it. And it's everything from if you are a player in the transfer portal and maybe which programs will – now, he's still developing this part. We talked about this on the air. Maybe which program is right for you, or a program looking for coaches, an AD, whoever it is, boosters, border regents. A lot of folks getting in touch with Dave Bartu. Dave, let's jump back into this. And I wanted to mention all of the different areas that you evaluate. We were talking about special teams, I believe, last week. And a lot of your breakdowns, because you have to do that because a special teams coordinator or a special teams coach getting hired, or a program looking for one. So you go any direction that you have relevant, top of your mind. Give me a crack in Tuscaloosa, because I'm trying to figure out how Texas A&M, how Jimbo and the Aggies, how they get better despite losing Kellen Mond and, you know, all the football parts of it. How do they get better? Because the last getting better they have to do is beat Nick Saban in Alabama, and I don't know what the crack is right now.
Well, I think it comes down to a passing game. When you look at what has beat Nick Saban in Alabama over the last 10 years, it is a quarterback getting hot. I'm trying to rack my mind. Can you think of any loss that he had where it wasn't a dominant quarterback just took over the football game? Maybe the Iron Bowl?
Yeah, where they had the two pick sixes.
That
two interception returns. That'll flip a game.
Right, but you can never count on that.
That's what I'm saying. That's the anomaly. Two defensive scores and you lose by, I think, 3 points.
Right, and so, you know, if you're an A&M or anybody trying to beat Alabama year in and year out, so you're not going to rely on that, you know. But you've seen Deshaun Watson get hot. I think they lost, you know, I think they lost to Dak.
Cardale Jones.
You know, it's just, pitching the ball way down the field with elite wide receivers and getting lucky, really, or at least being hot for that game. So if you're talking about A&M, from a talent standpoint, they're about as good as they're going to get. Okay, A&M's recruited themselves into the highest level that they've been in their history. Jimbo certainly built on top of what Sumlin had, and they're the top 10 in the country, number 3 in their division. Okay, so I think the talent's there. So ultimately what it comes down to is somebody that's not killing Mon. Mon wasn't good enough to do it, right? I mean, he just didn't. They just couldn't get it done.
No.
I mean, the offense last year was, I mean, look, I know they were top 10 in ranking, but they were 55th in offensive scoring efficiency. They were 63rd in defensive scoring efficiency. They got really, really lucky in some close games last year. But the talent's there.
Let me ask you about the two departing quarterbacks then, because, I mean, that's the story for both teams. And you know, I was talking to a guy who covers Alabama. I was like, just tell me what the offense is going to look like with Bryce Young. And so that's like on-field performance for this year. Again, both places is going to look different. But what about the two departing quarterbacks? Because I asked you about Mac Jones last week. And the more I look at him, and again, I don't know as much as the NFL scouts or coaches or GMs. I don't know as much as you about quarterback play and what's going to happen in the NFL. I got a cocked eyebrow, man. And you talk about, I don't know if it's marketing or an agent or whatever, but when I look at Mac Jones and I see top 5 conversations, I don't see it. Tell me what you do. Tell me what you see.
No, by the numbers. Look, I'm actually starting a series of going through every single NFL draft from 2000 forward using just 3 metrics. No watching film, no nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just quarterback effect, the team that surrounds you, and your experience, which is basically games started. And if those numbers aren't positive, you don't succeed in the NFL. Look, Mac Jones, dude from North Dakota State, Trask, Mond, all of these guys are really cut out of the same cloth. And specifically, they don't have NFL success metrics. None of them. I think this draft's going to suck in 3 years. We're going to look back and go, wow, everybody got hyped up. And here's why I think everybody's getting hyped up. The brands associated with the players. This quarterback draft is a bunch of clickbait. It's Clemson. It's Ohio State. It's Alabama. Okay? It's North Dakota State. It's Florida. It's Texas A&M. Big brands, huge followings. I think it's all overhyped, in my opinion. I mean, if any of these guys succeed outside of the first 2 picks, it will actually be amazing because their profile fails annually, you know, constantly throughout the last 20 years. So to me, after the second pick, I wouldn't draft another one of these guys until fourth, fifth round. I don't think the value's there.
Are you saying Zach Wilson is the second pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or the first one. They may flip-flop. Wouldn't even surprise me. Seriously, it wouldn't surprise me.
You've talked about Zach Wilson and what you believe that he's capable of.
Well, Zach and Trevor are the only guys with positive quarterback effect in this draft. That's it, okay? Those are the guys that succeed year in and year out. Very rarely do you have a draft where the positive quarterback effect guys in college don't succeed on some level. I mean, you can go back 20 years ago, 2000, the 2000 draft. First, there were 3 guys that had positive quarterback effect in college, 3 guys that started more than 24 games with positive quarterback effect. And the first pick, can't remember his name, There was a sixth-round pick named Brady and another sixth-round pick, maybe seventh-round pick, Rattay, who started for the Niners for a long time.
So, Tim Rattay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, this draft, it's to me, I get it, though. I mean, you and I both get it from the standpoint of quarterback drives the NFL, so you have to take risks. But to me, next year's draft is going to smoke this draft. If I'm not in the top two picks right now, I'm trying to figure out how to get as many first-round picks next year as possible. Maybe even take two quarterbacks, because there's no such thing as having too many good quarterbacks on your roster.
Last thing I want to ask you about is actually a guy that we kind of have talked about a little bit, Kellen Mond, because, again, I don't know if it's an agent. I don't know. I mean, it's some of these headlines, it's like, is this payola? Like, we're paying money to get something placed out there? Because I'm starting to see yesterday, literally, three different places. I read one article, a couple of opinion pieces about Kellen Mond and how he's now an intriguing day two prospect. I was like, not in my book, but I'm going to ask Dave about it. We got about a minute and a half. Talk Kellen Mond.
Shoot, intriguing day three prospect. Like I said, they're all intriguing day three prospects. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Mond has been a quarterback. Look, he has a lot of experience. That is good. Okay, he's in it with a top 10 recruiter. That is horrible. Did he elevate his team? No.
Not really, no.
Not at all.
No.
And here's what I always go back to. Number one thing, if you can't elevate your team on Saturday, you certainly still ain't going to do it on Sunday, so you don't get drafted. So Kellen Mond and all these other guys, maybe the best value out there, the guy who doesn't check any boxes, might be Trask, simply because he carried that team offensively. Everything he did was being prepared for the NFL grind.
Not the best offensive line, a shaky,
no.
Inconsistent ground game.
Horrible defense. They were constantly. I mean, look at he threw them into competition with Alabama, literally on his own. You know, there's Kellen Mond never did that. You know, Mac Jones was never ever asked to do that. Guy's never been under any sort of pressure in his entire life. So if there's one guy in the draft, not in the first two picks, that I feel has any kind of value out there, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, just as a flyer, you got an extra draft pick, let's see what he's got. That's the only guy that I see that has had to carry a college football team and learn how to carry a team at the college level.
Dave, give the cell phone number. And by the way, this is Dave's cell phone number. I only call him if you got some business. All right, so give the cell phone number.
Oh, dude, your listeners text all the time. It's great. You got a great set of listeners.
Oh,
I haven't got anything negative yet so far. So my next text is going to be a real winner, right? But no, seriously, hit me up, 503-504-8710. I'll talk to anybody about college football.
Unless you're Mac Jones's mama.
I told Mac Jones to go back to school. He needed to go back to school.
Dave,
we'll blame him for cashing the check.
We will do it again in 7 days, man. Thank you.
See you, brother.
All right. They got the phone number. There you go again. And that's for, what has he said? He said border regents, an AD, a sitting SEC head coach, and apparently some of our listeners. So there is Dave's cell phone number again. Always appreciate it. Do it next Tuesday.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.